Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of How We Roll Podcast.
Hi.
We're an RPG-based podcast, and we focus on Call of Cthulhu, some Dungeons & Dragons, and occasionally one-off campaigns.
Interesting.
If you're interested in contacting us and want to know where you can find our podcasts, you can visit howwerollpodcast.com.
Fancy.
Which offers links to Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, Reddit, and Twitch.
What?
If you enjoy what we do and want to support us, you can donate to us on Patreon.
Oh.
And with that said, let's get on with the show.
Yes, please, please, just get on with the show. Yes.
Hello, and welcome to How We Roll Podcast. Tonight, we have a very, very special release for you. A few months ago, I was approached by Curran Aaron, who asked me if I'd be interested in learning more about Spencer Randall's backstory. If you don't already know Spencer Randall, he is an alcoholic private investigator with a troubled past who appeared on the very, very first How We Roll show back in 2015. He has survived everything the mythos has to offer, from ghosts to witches, deep ones to Dagon himself, although he did almost lose his life to an irate hobo hiding in a basement. Spencer Randall is one of How We Roll's most beloved characters, and I was certainly keen on hearing more about his past. But when I agreed, all I was really expecting was a few notes to add to the website. So when Curran messaged me last week to tell me that after many months their project was finished, I was very excited, but I did not expect to receive this. What you are about to listen to is the work of very many hours of writing, recording and experimentation by Curran and Aaron, along with a few of Curran's friends, namely Ben, Sandra and Tom. So, without further ado, How We Roll presents Proven Guilty, a Spencer Randall story.
Insomnia, voices, nightmares, the shakes.
No, Doc, it's just the nightmares, really. I feel silly for bothering you with all this, but my receptionist, Sally, has been nagging me for weeks to come see you.
No, not silly at all, Mr. Randall. So, very interesting. Are these nightmares recent?
No, but they've gotten worse over the past couple of months. I barely sleep anymore.
What are the contents of these nightmares?
Well, I'm running through the hallway of my old house. The walls are filled with photos of my family. I can hear a baby crying and I start panicking, opening all the doors. But every room is empty. The hallway seems to stretch and goes on for what feels like an eternity. No matter how fast I run, I'm never fast enough. And I always feel like as if I'm still walking. Eventually I get to the stairs and I see a blood trail leading up to my son's room, but it's empty. The play blocks spell out the word death. The baby's crying stops and the blood trail continues down the hallway to my room. When I open the door, I see the bed sheets are crimson with blood. I see a silhouette of a man arched over the bed. When I try and look closer, I hear a bang, and I wake up in a cold sweat.
I understand you lost your wife. Do you think this could be related?
I can't imagine how.
Why don't you tell me about her? How did you meet?
I remember it as if it was yesterday. I was still a lowly beat cop. I'd been assigned to a pretty decent neighborhood, and one day a storm rolled in. I took shelter in the diner across the street. I was completely drenched to the bone. Great, I thought. Now I'm going to be wet all day. I slapped the bell on the counter and From the kitchen walks the most beautiful creature I'd ever laid eyes on. She had a smile that could light up the night sky. Flowing golden blonde hair that seemed to dance in the sunlight, and soft big green eyes that seemed so vivid they were like sparkling jade. Boom. It was like lightning. I knew I was in love. My heart was on fire, and she was the sweetest flower in the desert oasis. Her name tag read, Sophie. I was rendered speechless. Ended up ordering eggs. The worst eggs I'd ever had in my life. Yet, I kept coming back for more. I'd do anything to see her again. I put up with that terrible food for months. Eventually, I asked her out. Thanks to some Dutch courage. I recall my disbelief when she said yes. Why would such an angel give a lowly beat cop like me the time of day?
I see. Please continue.
Well, we dated for a couple of years. Lord knows why she put up with me. She stuck with me, even on the days when the world seemed to be against me. I even brought a pendant set so that she would know that she was always close to my heart. It was an unmistakable and unique pendant, gold-plated with ivory inlay of flowers. It was specially made. It would hold our pictures so we could always see each other no matter where we were. One was for me and one was for her. She would hug me and my worries and fears would melt away. This was the woman I was destined to marry. On our second anniversary, I took her to the nicest restaurant I could afford. After dinner, I got down on one knee and took her hand. Her eyes started to water up. Her lip quivering. I pulled out a modest ring. It was equivalent to 2 months' paycheck. She just smiled at me, and before I could say another word, she hugged me, and tears in her eyes whispering in my ear, "Yes, thousands of times, yes." That was the single most greatest moment of my life.
It's clear that she meant a lot to you. How was your married life?
What can I say? Amazing. I was the top performing officer on the force, and I just received a promotion to homicide detective. He had a few perks. A nice fat pay rise for one. Managed to get a mortgage and a nice little two-bedroom house where Sophie and I could start our lives together. A place we could call home. Things went away so smooth, though. We had complications in married life. We were trying for a baby for months and experienced sadness and hardship. Miscarriage is an ugly word for a loss of a new one. We were so torn. But our first Christmas, she bought me a puppy. It was a beagle. It was so small. Obviously, it could never replace the loss we had both experienced, but, well, she had these little white paws, just like socks, so, we named her Socks.
I'm very sorry for your loss, Mr. Randall. Why don't you tell me about your son?
Toby. Toby is the reason I still do what I do. From the day he was born and I held his tiny body in my arms. He was my number one concern. He held out his tiny little hand and grabbed my little finger. I privately shed a tear that day. My little boy. He had his mother's smile, and my eyebrows and nose. But there were complications with the birth. My Sophie lost a lot of blood. And she passed away shortly after bearing my son. The doctors fought hard to save her, but
please, take your time.
I lost her. My one. My only Sophie.
Mr. Randall, it says here your wife did not die in childbirth.
What? What the hell are you talking about?
Clearly states here that your wife died several months after Toby's birth.
But I remember. I remember her dying. I felt powerless to save her.
Often we choose what we want to remember, and more importantly, how we remember it. Dig deep, Mr. Randall. Dig deep. And try to remember the day you lost your wife.
She was laying in bed. Cold. Lifeless.
No, Mr. Randall. Dig deeper. Think.
I remember. It was raining. I came home late. I was working on a case. The lights were still on. Which was strange because Sophie would always pass out before I got home. If I had to work late.
Imagine you're there now. Retrace those steps in your mind.
I walked up the steps. I saw that the front door was not fully closed, and my heart skipped a beat. I drew my gun and called out for Sophie as I opened the door. Sophie! I could hear Toby crying from upstairs. I rushed up those stairs faster than a bat out of hell. I pushed open the nursery room door to find Toby safe in his cot. Where's your mother? As I rushed down the hallway that led to my room, I knew something was badly wrong. I pushed open the door and I was greeted with a scene that was straight out of my darkest nightmare. The bedsheets were stained crimson with Sophie's lifeless body laying there. Eyes full of fear and pain, wide open. I rushed to her side and lifted her head and held her close.
Sophie! Sophie! Oh, God, no! Sophie, please! Baby! Baby, talk to me! Sophie! Sophie!
I realize this is very difficult for you. Is there anything else you see? Anything else you remember?
Beside the bed was socks with a bloodied mouth, but a large gunshot wound to her neck, laying in a pool of her own blood. Looks like she may have gone out fighting. The blood around her mouth didn't seem to be hers. They took away the last gift from my wife. They took away my family. Bullet shells lay at the foot of the bed. Sophie's jewelry box lay on the floor. A few pieces lay alongside of it. Most of the contents missing. And the safe has been opened. Empty. It contained our life savings. Only myself and Sophie knew the combination.
I can't imagine the pain you must have felt. When someone is pushed that far, it is understandable that you would suppress these memories. But tell me, can you remember what you did?
So the cops questioned me and cordoned off my house. I was a broken man. It was difficult, but at least I still had Toby, and I continued to try and take care of him best I could. Due to my mental and emotional state, I lost my job down at the station. It was the straw that broke the camel's back. From what I knew, the case leads had run cold. No witnesses, no evidence to go on, no new leads. It was looking like the scum who did this to my Sophie were gonna walk. I could never allow myself this injustice. No, this travesty to happen.
You sought vengeance.
I sent Toby away to live with Sophie's mother on the other side of town. There was no way I could follow up this myself with also having to look after Toby. I called in all the favours and connections I had. With a lot of police work and ears to the ground, I finally traced them to an old abandoned warehouse near the docks on Edgewater Street, Staten Island. It was a stormy October night. The rain came in with the distant claps of thunder and occasional lightning flash. They were unloading crates from a boat next to the dock. The rain dancing in the light of the piercing headlights of their truck whilst they worked. I wasn't sure if these were the guys, until I noticed a pendant, gold, with inlay of ivory flowers. They saw me walking down the dock.
Beat it, pal, before you get hurt.
I carried on walking towards them. This is it. This is them. I know it. One of the guys reached to the crate beside him and picked up a shotgun lying on top of it. I drew my revolver and fired two shots straight into his chest. He screamed and fell backwards. One of the rounds from the shotgun rang out into the air, the other two screaming and yelling as they produced weapons of their own and returned fire my way. I ran and slid behind the front of their truck. The other goon, who was tall and lanky with slicked back hair, he opened fire on me and was peppering my position. Bullets whizzing past my head. My hands were trembling. The other guy, much shorter with stockier build, was also taking pot shots at me. I put three rounds into the crate of the Tommy gun goon was hiding behind. My last shot must have got him because he stood up in pain, which made it easy to shoot him again. My adrenaline must have been pumping hard because my shot missed his head, but instead took him full on in the neck. All I could hear was him choking on his own blood. The smaller guy made a run for it into the darkness up an alleyway. I gave chase. Eventually, I tackled him by jumping off some stacked boxes. As we crashed into the cold, hard ground, his gun slid under a nearby dumpster.
Okay. You got me, copper. Arrest me. Just so you know, you ain't got shit on me. I got friends, see? And they'll get me out in a few days. You can't make nothing stick, pig.
I wrestled the pendant back from his pocket. Where did you get this?
Oh, that? Wait, you're that dumb bitch's cop husband, ain't ya? Yeah, she was a whiny bitch. You greasy cop fuck. You can't fucking touch me.
Did I forget to mention? I'm no longer a cop.
Whoa. Hold on. Let's not be hasty. I got a family at home, man. It was just a job. That's all. A job.
Funny. I used to have one of those, too. Till you took everything from me. But you see? I ain't laughing! As I tired, I lacked the energy to throw any more punches. My knuckles raw and bloody. They burned like they were on fire, but strangely felt no pain. The rain dripped off my face as the sounds of distant police sirens filled the night air. I had to get out. Nothing more left to do here. My wet trench coat is spattered with blood and brain matter. As I walked back to my car, I threw my coat in the back and drove off.
I see. Did it make you feel better?
Well, it served as much justice as anything else in the world had to offer. A gang thug with a thirst for violence and greed, getting dished out what he deserved. Maybe it wasn't my place to sentence and condemn the guy. But it wasn't because of what he did to me. It was what he did to Sophie.
I feel like we've made a lot of progress today, Mr. Randall. But this is only scratching the surface. I'd like to see you again in 2 weeks.
Sure, Doc. You know, this has actually been a huge weight off my chest. Thanks.
I'm simply glad I could help.
And, sorry about your vase.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this project, then please let us, but especially Curran and Aaron, know. You can find them on our Discord, which I'll link in the show notes, but you can also find Curran directly on Twitter at HowWeRollCurran and Aaron on Twitter at GruntyBabyUK. We'll be back with more Curse of Strahd this Sunday, so until then, have a great week. We'll see you soon.